Abraham buys a burial plot, Genesis 23, 1 through 20, and we'll read verse 1, and then we'll pray and begin. So the Word of God says in Genesis chapter 23 and verse 1, and Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house today. I do pray that you would forgive me for my sins. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. We pray if anyone here is not saved, that you would convict them and save them today. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So Abraham buys a burial plot. The first thing that we see is Sarah's example in verse 1. The Word of God says, and Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So Sarah lived to a good old age of 127 years. Not as old as people we read about early on in the history of the world and the history of humanity. The lifespan of people had shortened by this time. After the flood, it seemed to go down dramatically, but it had shortened. But still, she lived to a good old age, and God had miraculously strengthened her body so that she could have a child in her old age. The Bible tells us that Sarah should be looked to as an example. So we'll look at a couple of verses that deal with that. The Bible says in Isaiah 51, 1 through 2, hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Again, in the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 through 6, the Word of God says, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. This is talking about how godly women should adorn themselves, and it's saying there the main thing about a godly woman should not be her outward appearance, but rather her spirit. And so the hidden man of the heart, meek and quiet spirit. My wife used to get tormented about that when she was in Peru by Johnny's brother, who every time she would say anything, he would say, meek and quiet, April, meek and quiet. But meekness just means power under control. And of course she showed her meekness by not hitting him. But nonetheless, the Bible says a meek and quiet spirit, and the Bible calls it an ornament, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. So the Bible exhorts women to look to Sarah as an example of a godly woman. It's interesting that the Bible never tells women to look to Mary as an example, but it twice tells women to look to Sarah as an example. Now, the second thing we see is Sarah's death, verse 2. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. So Abraham mourns the death of his wife. They had had a good long life together. They had finally had a son. God had promised Isaac's birth many years before, but finally in their old age, they have a son. And Sarah had watched Isaac grow up into a man. And so now we see that Abraham buys a burial plot, which is what the title of the message is, Sarah's burial plot in verses 3 through 20. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Remember that Abraham, even though he journeyed through the promised land, he was a sojourner, the Bible says, which he was a picture of Christians and how we are strangers and pilgrims in the world. Our true home is in heaven. The Bible says that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God, but he was a sojourner in the land. And so he didn't own any of the promised land, even though God promised it to him and to his descendants. So he says, I'm a stranger and sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heath, I'm just going to call them Heath. It sounds more southern, right? That's what we say, Heath. So the children of Heath answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, my Lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulcher, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. So the people had tombs carved into caves, and so carved out of rock. And so they said, you're a mighty prince among us. Of course, Abraham was like his own country. He had tons of servants. He had soldiers. He had lots of cattle and flocks. He was like his own country. And so they said, you're a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchers, bury thy dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even the children of Heath. And he communed with them, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zoar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field. For as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place among you. Now this cave, we see on the map here, is kind of located in the west there, in the mountainous region there of Canaan, and that arrow points to it. And today you can go visit that, but it is covered over with a mosque and a temple. It's been split in half. Half of it's a Jewish temple, and half of it's a mosque. A Muslim mosque, because it's changed possessions over the years. The Jews, of course, had it, and then the Muslims invaded and they took it, and then the Muslims were defeated, and the Jews took it back, and then the Muslims took it back. So they finally came to a compromise where they split it. It's considered a holy site for both Jews and Muslims. But that's what it looks like today. It's covered over with that structure. Bible says in verse 10, And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heath, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heath, even of all that went in at the gate of his city, saying, Nay, my Lord, hear me, the field give I thee, and the cave that is therein I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people give I it thee, bury thy dead. It was customary in a negotiation at that time for the land to first be offered as a gift. That's the way they would do their negotiation. So somebody would say, I would like to buy your land. And they would say, no, I want to give it to you as a gift. And so the Bible says in verse 12, And Abraham bowed down himself from before the people of the land, and he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me, I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. So it was customary for the buyer to reject the offer of the land as a gift and to ask for a price. That's the way they negotiated. Here, I'll give it. It'd be like going to buy a car. I want to buy this car. No, I'll give you the car. No, if you will give me the car, then I will offer you money for the car. That's the way that they negotiated. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, My Lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and B, bury therefore thy dead. In other words, it's worth 400 shekels of silver, a certain weight of silver. But what's that to two people like us? Either because we are friends, we are brothers, we are both wealthy. What's that to us? What's that between people like us? It was customary for the seller to then offer a high price for the land to start negotiations. So usually what they would do is the seller would offer a very high price, and then the buyer would come back with a counter offer with a lower price, and they would some way settle on the price of the land. That's the way they did their negotiations. But in this case, Abraham buys the land for the price asked. We don't know if he did that because it was a fair price or if he just didn't want to go any further with the negotiation, but that's what he did. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heath, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchants. So Gil says, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, for in those times money had no mark or stamp upon it to show its value, and therefore was not told by pieces, but weighed, by which its full worth was known. And that Ephron might have his whole and just demand, the silver was weighed to him. So that's the way they did it. They would weigh it out. You didn't have a coin that said, $1, $2, $3, or what have you. It was just done by weight. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field that were in all the borders round about were made sure. So they even counted the trees. They made sure that the borders were exactly right. They drew it out and made sure it was exactly right. Unto Abraham for possession in the presence of the children of Heath before all that went in at the gate of his city. So this was done very publicly. It was a public contract that was done, a public land sale, a public agreement. Everybody witnessed it. They did it at the gate of the city, which was the prestigious place in the city. And they made this agreement, and the money was transacted, and the field was made sure to Abraham. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heath. So here we see this story of really an ancient negotiation for a burial plot. So Abraham buys a burial plot. Now, what this shows us is that we need to be prepared for death. We need to be prepared for death. Death is going to come to everyone. And Abraham was definitely prepared for death, and so was Sarah. So make proper preparations for death. Now, what did Abraham do to make preparations for death? What did Sarah do? Well, the Bible tells us in Genesis 15:6 what he did. The Bible says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So Abraham made preparations for death by putting his faith in the Lord. He believed in the Lord. And when he did that, God counted his faith for righteousness. And that's what God does for us. In fact, in the New Testament, three times, this verse from Genesis 15:6, which is a very important verse in the Old Testament, this verse is repeated three times. It's repeated in Romans, Galatians, and James. Romans 4:3, the Word of God says, "For what saith the Scripture, Abraham believed God, and he counted it unto him for righteousness." Galatians 3:6, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." And James 2:23, "And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Very important that we make preparations for death. Everybody here is going to face that unless the Lord returns. But we're going to all face that one day. And when you face death, make sure you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. When you put your faith in Christ as your crucified, buried, and risen Savior, the faith that you have in Christ is counted or imputed, as James says. It was imputed unto him for righteousness, which simply means that it was placed on his account. So, even though Abraham was a good man, we know that he was a known liar. We know that he lied. We also know that he was slow to obey God. He had not left his land when God told him to. He was slow to do that. And so he had some sins that we know about, and I'm sure he had many others, as everyone does. So there came a day when Abraham looked to God, and he saw that he did not have the righteousness to get himself right with God and to get to heaven himself. So he believed in the Lord, and when he did that, God counted his faith for righteousness. Jesus Christ died on the cross for Abraham and Sarah, and he died on the cross for all of us. And he was buried, and he rose from the dead, and he offers us eternal life as a gift. And the way we receive that gift is by faith. When we believe on the Lord, God takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Every good thing that Jesus Christ ever did, he takes that righteousness and he places it on our record in heaven. That's imputation. He imputes it to us or places it on our account. So that when God looks at us, he no longer sees our sins, but instead he sees the righteousness and goodness of Jesus Christ. Abraham believed in the Lord and it was counted to him for righteousness. And you too can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and it will be counted to you for righteousness. None of us have righteousness to get to heaven. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. And the Bible says in the book of Romans, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. None of us are good enough to get to heaven, but because Jesus died for us on the cross and rose from the dead, when we believe in Christ as our personal Savior, he imputes the righteousness, his own righteousness, to our account and takes our sins away, forgiving us and giving us eternal life. Have you been saved? Are your relatives saved? Are your friends saved? Are the people you love saved? If they've not been saved, doesn't matter how good they are, how much they go to church, how many years they've been in church, if they've not been saved by putting their faith in Jesus Christ and having his righteousness imputed to them, then they're lost and they're on their way to hell. And that's a sad thing, but it's something that Christians need to wake up to, and we need to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with our friends and our loved ones and our family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for this reminder that death is coming and that we need to be prepared for it, and this reminder from this story of Abraham buying this burial plot for Sarah. We do pray that you would help us to share the gospel. I pray if anyone here does not know you as Savior, that today would be the day when they turn to you in faith, trusting you to forgive their sins and to save their soul. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.